Coming soon. Coming soon. And that's a good thing for some. But it may not be a good thing for all. You know, parents told you that I'll be home at 5 o'clock. And there's certain chores I want done. So they have 4 kids. Hey, 3 of them might do what they supposed to do. But there's one that says, you know, they might be home at 5:30, 6 o'clock. You know, so they wait. And sure enough, parents come on time. And just like the, you know, the parents had said, when I come home, these stuff better be done. God is not going to not do what he says he's going to do. You know, there's only two things that God cannot do. One of them is lie. And the other one is, he cannot go against his will. God will do what he said he will do. And even though we may not know the way, okay, always or where we're going, we can always trust in the one who does know the way and where he's going. And that is Jesus, and that is our Father God. Okay, there is someone we're going to be examining today that didn't always know where he was going. But he always followed the one who did know. Okay, he had parents that believed in many things. But when his name was called, he answered. Okay, beginning of his life, his name was Abram. But the end of his life, God changed it to Abraham. All of us want our names changed before this life is over. Okay, I was born Mark Darnell. But, you know, when I got baptized, I became Brother Mark. It's a difference. God gave me a different name. He gave me a new heart. He gave me a new focus. Everything in your life becomes new. You have new eyes, even though they're the same color. You have a new walk, even though you walk the same. You have a new speech, even though you sound the same. Okay? Everything about your life now is supposed to be changed. But this doesn't happen to everybody. But that did happen to Abraham. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Abraham's life exemplifies the meaning of Paul's charge to the Corinthians. Okay, the Corinthians were very rich. Okay, the Corinthians had a lot of money. They had a lot of things that they believed in as well. Okay, so becoming a Christian was something new to them, and there's a whole lot of things they had to believe out of. Okay, they had a problem when it came to money. They had a problem when it came to Lord's Supper. They had a problem when it came to giving. They had a problem when it came to marriage. They had a problem when it came to remarriage. They had a problem when it came to worship. They had a problem when it came to paganism. They had a problem when it came to commitment. They had a problem with a lot of things because they had a lot of resources. Now, I'm not saying at all the poorer you are, the closer you're going to be to God. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is the more you have, the more you are responsible for. Okay? That's what I'm saying. The more resources you have, guess what? The more opportunity you have to do good, or do bad. Now, was Abraham a wealthy man? Absolutely. Okay? Abraham was wealthy. But it wasn't his riches that he focused on. His heart. Okay? His heart was right with God, and he fully committed himself to God. Okay? In Hebrews 11. Alright, let's go to Hebrews 11. We're going to start at verse 8, okay? Hebrews 11, we're going to start at verse 8, all right? If you guys didn't know, Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith. It talks about all the faithful accounts of those who stood by God to the end, all right? Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he will later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Okay? He didn't know where he was going since the beginning. All right? He didn't know where he was going, but he was fully committed to God. And how was he able to do this? It was all about sacrifice. Okay? Abraham sacrificed what he thought he knew in order to trust God. We're not going to always know what's going to go on from day to day. There's always going to be situations where we may know the unknown, okay, about what may happen. But God always knows, okay? God always knows. There's more opportunities out there that I want to venture into with my life when it comes to photography and videography and stuff. But I don't know where those opportunities are going to come from. But guess what? I trust in God that he's going to always provide a way for our family, okay? But when it came to Abraham, okay, and his family, what did he believe in, all right? As humans, we may find it easy to follow God when the circumstances are not burdensome. But when Christianity demands us to sacrifice that which we hold dear, or our resolve can diminish, okay? We will leave our homeland and follow God wherever he leads us. We'll be able to do that, okay? What some of us really leave will be everything we know to follow a God that we don't know. Would any of us really do that? Okay, we will be as Abraham and look ahead in a hopeful expectancy to see our God, okay? By faith, all right? When Abraham was tested, he offered up his own son, his only son, okay, Isaac. All right, even though he had another son, Ishmael, but this was not the son that's going to carry on his inheritance. Okay, Abraham thought he did what was right by sleeping with his handmaid. He slept with her and had a son through Ishmael. But God had came to Abraham and said, the one that's going to come from you is going to be of your own loins, and it's going to come from your wife Sarah, not with this woman. Okay, so they had to trust in God. Not only did Abraham have to do that, but Sarah had to as well. Okay, so this was not just a solo Abraham. Okay, he had to have a faithful wife as well. Okay, to make this come into fruition. All right. So today, as Christians, we may see a very hard time imitating Abraham's attitude. Okay, Jesus states, let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. This is some stuff that Jesus has said when it came to commitment to him. Okay, when it comes to commitment to him. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 37. All right, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. The Bible says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. All right? He says anyone. It doesn't matter what the situation. It doesn't matter who it is. It says anyone. So all of us have to be willing to take that same sacrifice. Why is that? Because we're making a sacrifice to the highest order. It's not just for someone. It is for God. All right? And I told my wife before we were married, I told her straight up. Okay? If you do not believe in God more than me, we will not get married. I told her straight up. You have to believe in God more than you believe, you have to love God. Okay? You have to love God more than you love me. And I have to be the same. I have to do the same. That's the only way our marriage is going to work out. That's the only way. Because there are going to come times where things are going to be uneasy. And things are going to be very, very hard. Okay, but if it is not God keeping you together, then it's not gonna be the way God wants it to be. It's gonna be the way we want it to be, and we're gonna make our own decisions instead of letting God dictate our decisions. Okay? This is why Jesus is saying, if you do not love, if you love them more than me, you're not worthy, because no one else left heaven to save you. This is why he's saying that. He's the one who made you. You got to love me more than all these things, because I'm the one who's going to save your soul, not your life if you were drowning. It's a very, very big difference, okay? Now, in Abraham's time, especially in the land of Haran, okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. In the land of Haran, where Abraham's dad died, okay, he died in Haran. Let's go to Genesis 12. God calls Abraham after his father dies, okay? Abraham's father's name was Terah. And his father and their family believed in many, many things. They studied something called polytheism, okay? There were a god for about everything that they wanted a god for, okay? When you grow up in his father's house, okay, they had thousands of gods and goddesses, for each city having its own chief and central god. Some of the main deities were at the time of Sin, or what called Nana, the god of the moon, and Anu, the chief god, was replaced by his son Anil, and Anil would take on many titles, such as the king of the earth, the lord of the earth. Enlil was seen as the god of wisdom, protector of arts and crafts, science, literature, magic, and which was one thing highly interested of the people of that day. Okay, we see a god of the sun and magic named Merodach, okay, to take the place in Babylon, such as Ashtar and Asherah, the goddess of sex and war. And then we have Shamukan, the god of cattle. We have Baal, the god of crops and storms. We have amulets, which were made to keep homes, to wear protection. And priesthoods were created in as mediators between mankind and pantheons that ruled the heavens. All right, we had pagans who worshipped ritualistic as sacrifices, and sometimes human sacrifices were made. The gods were fed by placing food before them. Temple prostitutes appeared as important matters of fertility, and people adopted households with gods to serve. This was an era that Abraham grew up in, and there is no doubt that we have been influenced heavily, that he was influenced heavily by his surroundings. There's no way. With all these gods around, okay, we don't know by fact that Abraham himself did not worship some of these things. This is the things that his parents believed in and his siblings believed in, okay? So there's no way for us to know if he didn't worship these things or not, all right? But when we see in Genesis chapter 12, we see something very, very different. It says, the Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to a land I will show you. What he means by leave your father's house, leave that environment and those worshipers of all those different gods. In order sometimes for God to get you where you want to go, you have to completely leave your environment. You want to stop certain addictions. You want to start certain ailments or certain things you're going through. Sometimes you got to leave that place completely. That's the only way. Sometimes that's the only way. You got to leave completely what you're comfortable with. Everything that God told Abraham to do was very uncomfortable. First thing he said is leave your country. Leave your family. Leave your father's house to a land I will show you. So what you're saying is leave my family. Everything I know. Leave the place I lived my whole life. And then go to a place I don't even know where I'm going. There's only one word that comes to mind that will get you to do something like that. And that is faith. Faith is the only thing. Okay? When Paul was persecuting the church, okay, Paul didn't have a lack of faith. Paul was very faithful. But he was faithful to the wrong thing. Paul was not an unfaithful person. He didn't know what to believe in at the time. He was ignorant of what he was doing. But it doesn't take away that Paul was faithful. Some of us were faithful to something before we believed in Christ. We all believed in something. Before I came to God, I did believe in God. Okay, but I didn't know that the Church of Christ was a church that was going to get me to fully be a Christian. I didn't know that because I didn't have the doctrine. I didn't have that. Now, did I go to church? Absolutely. Okay, I went to Pentecostal. I've been to Apostolic. I've been to Methodist, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Southern Baptist, Baptist. My mom was all over the place. We went to church every month, learning this, learning that, singing hallelujah, dancing around, all kind of stuff. But guess what? Through all of that, I did not know the truth. There is no way someone can come to me and say, "Do you know how to be saved?" No one could come to me, and no one ever sat me down and did that. They put their hand on me, made me shake and undo all this stuff. I got into a tub by a woman, and I thought that was okay. What did I know? I didn't know no better. I didn't know nothing else. No one showed me a way. What did Abraham knew before he came to God? All he knew was things that people made up, that they made up, and he followed that. But none of these gods ever came to Abraham and spoke to him. That's what made him move. He heard something different. The gospel makes you hear something different. There is no corners to cut. There is nowhere around it. We're going to give you the straight up gospel, and there's nothing that you can find that's going to be that you shouldn't be happy about. Only thing that you should not be happy about is the way they treated Christ before he died on the cross. You should not be happy at the life that they drove him through. That was wrong. But he did that for you. That was wrong, the things he had to go through. Okay? It was wrong. He says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you." This is something that Abraham never heard from anybody else. This is what got him to leave his country, leave his family, and leave his father's house. And he took his nephew with him. And he took his wife and a few things with him. He didn't take all this. He didn't take a lot with him. He didn't take enough to get him from point A to point B. Okay, it says, many people, both Jewish and Christian, see Abraham as a man who had always rejected the notion of many gods. They conjure up a man who, when God called upon him, obeyed right away because he had never believed in polytheism to begin with. I don't believe that. Okay, there's no way I can say that that was true. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 7 and verse number 2. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 2. Alright, I'm going to start at verse 1. Alright. This is Stephen. Okay, when he was in the Sanhedrin, this is the same chapter. Okay, when they was going to stone him, okay? This is a very sad chapter, okay? But Stephen gives them a testimony of faith, all right? And on Abraham's account, okay? This was thousands of years before Stephen was born, thousands. It says, verse number 1, then the high priest asked him, okay, are these charges true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The Father of glory appeared unto our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia. I cannot say that right. Before he lived in Haran. And he said, leave your country and your people, God said, and go to a land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and he settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent to him a land where you are living now. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at the time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him In this way, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. So this was already told, okay, that this was going to happen, that they're reading about now. But what does Abraham have to do with us in the gospel today? Okay, what was going on with Abraham and his son is very parallel what went on with Christ, with Father God and his son. Okay, because God tested Abraham. Okay, God tested him and he passed the test. This is the same test, okay, that Christ himself was that was going after. Okay, so let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. It says, sometime later, okay, God tested Abraham. The King James said, we'll say tempted. But he's really mean tested. He tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. Okay? He said to him, Abraham, here am I, he replied. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So again, just like in the beginning of his journey with God, he's telling him to go to a place he does not know. This is a true testament of faith. Okay? Do we really know where heaven is? No, we do not. But we believe in Christ enough to where he, when he comes back, he's going to take us there. Okay? But when Christ came to earth, he knew exactly what he was doing. But there was someone who lived before Christ. I'm not saying before Christ, but before the law, okay, that was doing the exact same thing. This is why he was called the father of faith and the friend to God, okay? Because he was willing to do something that a lot of us wouldn't do, okay? A lot of us wouldn't do. How many of you, all right, would sacrifice your son as a burnt offering? At that time, no one would do that. No one had that kind of commitment. No one had that kind of dedication. This is what he said. This is what he means, all right? Abraham loved God more than his son, even though he only had one son. This was his only son that he claimed here, all right? But he loved God more than that, all right? He says, to a place I will tell you about. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled on his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out the place that God had told him about. On the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. Where else do we see about the third day of something being, of something risen up or something there? Okay? After Christ died on the cross, on the third day, he was resurrected. Alright? But just like his only son, this is what he asked him. Okay? On the third day, he looked up and saw it. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I go, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Okay? Now, this is what this is what he's saying. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering on the place, placed it on his son Isaac. And he said, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them were on together. Isaac spoke up and he said to his father, Abraham, father. Yes, my son. Abraham replied, fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So this is not something that was new to Isaac. Isaac had done this before over and over because he knows what it takes to make the sacrifice. So this was like the ordinary thing to them. Okay? But it doesn't say that Abraham told Isaac that he was going to be offered. But guess what? Isaac had to take a great deal of faith as well. Okay? As we're going to see later on here. The fire and wood are here, but where are the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And then the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place that God had told them, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar and on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him, for I know. But now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld me from your son, your only son." Now, God did provide a lamb right there for the burnt offering. And he provided another one, not only for his sons, but for all that believe in Christ. Let's go to John chapter 3. Alright, y'all know where I'm going. John chapter 3. Alright, we're going to start at verse 16. Alright, John chapter 3. Verse 16. This is Jesus speaking on what his father told him to say about the Son and about the world and about what he's here for. All right, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that he has done, that what he has been done through God." Okay? Now, this is a sad saying I'm about to say. People like it when you win, but they will pay to see you lose. People will pay to see you lose. Alright, this is the sad thing. When Jesus was on the cross, there were people that would pay to see him hang there. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't walk away. They stayed there the whole time while this was going on, knowing that he did nothing to deserve it, but they wouldn't do anything to stop it. They would do nothing to stop it. The only one they could have stopped it was Christ. And he couldn't stop it. That's the only way to save them from themselves. So we had to allow what happened. All right, let's go to Isaiah 59 real quick. Last one before we hang this up. All right. Isaiah 59, okay? The Bible says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save you, nor his ear too dull to hear." But it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood and your fingers with guilt." Their hands were stained with blood even though they weren't the ones beating on Christ. They handed him over to their enemies so they can do whatever they wanted to him. That's the sad part. He was wounded for our transgressions and our iniquities. He did not do anything deserving of himself, but because of it, this is what we are. As a human race, it is very disgraceful and disrespectful and just utter wrong. This is where we are here today. And by me even preaching this sermon, there will be a lot who will disagree with me because they don't want to follow God. They want to follow whatever pleases them. And if I speak anything against what they believe, I'm the one who's wrong. Okay? There is now messengers being attacked. Forget the message. It's not the message. It's the messenger. You can say whatever you want, as long as he's not saying it, I will believe you. That's what's wrong with the world today. Okay? That's what's wrong with the world today. But when it came to faith in Abraham, he fully was submissive to God. You know what that tells you and I? That it is possible. That anyone can do it. All of us can do it today. But we gotta make a stand. And we gotta have a resolve not to quit and give up. That's what true strength is. Is when all adversity is turned to you and you decide not to surrender. That's how you beat it. You can't beat it by yourself. Can't change yourself. Only God can do that. Okay? There is something that could be stronger in you today if you choose to believe that's in the world. And that is God's Spirit. If God's Spirit is in you, you can survive all these things with a greater outcome that Jesus is going to come to take us home. Don't you want to go home? Okay? There's a song we sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." That's how you want to be. That's what you want to really believe. This is a song you should have in your head when you wake up. All right? And if you're still in the world and you don't believe in God, or you don't believe in Christ, or you do believe in God and you do believe in Christ, you need to take the next step. Okay? You can take the next step right now. The first thing you have to do is hear God's word that you heard this morning. Okay? And then you must believe it. All right? Then you must believe God's word. Believe it to the point where it gets you to change your thinking, your mind, to get you to repent. All right, change of mind that results in a change of action from now on. Not something you do today and you resort back to the next day. This is something that you change now and you keep on changing. When you repent, you keep on repenting. You don't just stop doing that. When you believe, you keep on believing. When you hear, you keep on hearing. When you confess, you keep on confessing. But all you have to do is get baptized one time. Okay? You confess Christ, you get baptized once. You can only get baptized once. All it takes is one time to get it right. All it takes is one time. Okay, we'll baptize you this morning. Because without baptism, there is no remission. Okay, without the shedding of blood in the Old Testament, there was no remission. Christ shed his blood and died on the cross for you and me. Does anyone today want to put Christ on a baptism? Can do that right now. As we stand and sing the Savior's invitation song.